Experts from all sectors have delivered vital perspectives on two of the country's major concerns at this month's Health and Climate Forum. Spearheaded by peak advocacy body Doctors for the Environment Australia, the event came in the lead-up to the federal government's renewed emissions targets, welcoming local and international speakers to discuss policy reform and ways to tackle climate. To hear more, The Wire's Sam Giorgio was joined by Dr. Kate Wiley and Dr. Adivas from Doctors for the Environment Australia, along with Ruby Hamilton, special counsel in the WA practice at the Environmental Defender's Office.
What was the overall aim of the Health and Climate Forum this year, and what were some of the key messages you were looking to deliver?
So the fundamental aim of the Health and Climate Forum was to demonstrate how our health is impacted by climate change, obviously, and also our energy policy, our environment policy, and how we need to prepare health for the impacts of climate change. That was the first aim, which was basically diagnosing the problem about how health is impacted by climate. And then the second thing we did was offer things that people can do, because of course, every time you start talking about health or climate change more generally, it's a pretty hard thing to listen to. It's a pretty heavy topic. So the second day, we really focused on different ways people can make a difference in their personal and professional lives.
The conference came in the lead up to last week's emissions target. How do you feel about the government's target to cut emissions by 62 to 70% by 2035?
I think it's more than it was. It's more than 43%, but it's certainly not enough to protect health. The science was telling us that we needed to be 75% or more. And I think whenever you set a range, it's always a little bit scary. You think 62 to 70, then will we make 62? I would have liked to have seen our Prime Minister set a higher target, especially when the climate risk assessment came out earlier the week showing just how risky climate change is.
This target was set under international law. It's an element of the framework established by the Paris Agreement. From a legal perspective, under international law, it will be really interesting to see the development of how these nationally determined contributions, as they're called under the Paris Agreement, are looked upon by international courts. And a target like this, we can probably expect to be scrutinised under international law for whether Australia really is meeting its international climate obligations.
How important is it now more than ever to frame climate change in a way that engages people who would otherwise not believe in it or actively fight against it?
I think putting a health frame onto climate personalises it. You know, when you start to say, okay, climate change is going to impact your health, your family's health, your elderly parents' health, the health of your cat and your dog and everything you see around you, then it becomes, as I said, a personalised problem rather than other problem, rather than something that's happening to people over there.
One thing that gives me hope or heartens me in all of this is actually there's segments of our populations and our professions, for example, where there's immense support. So New South Wales Health, for example, one of the largest health services in our country, a publicly operated system, has surveyed its staff and its patients. And I can give you some figures. So some 90+% of patients have said they want the health service to do more. Doctors, nurses, allied health professionals, health managers, quality safety people, health researchers, the whole lot. Patients want more action on this. And you could say, is that a reasonable indication of the population? Perhaps. But also really empowering is the fact that staff wanted to. So something like 80+% of staff in that particular year, a couple of years ago when the survey was done. So this is not unusual.
What's the importance of doctors and lawyers and different professions pushing for climate reform compared to, say, just politicians or political actors?
We need to be all in. Like doctors, lawyers, everybody, though, has a responsibility, I think, to do what they can addressing what the World Health Organization calls the greatest public health threat facing humanity, which is climate change. Doctors, we have an ethical responsibility. We take an oath, and the first line of the oath is, I consecrate my life to the service of humanity. So how are we living under the oath if we are not doing something to address what is the greatest public health threat that we are all facing? And one of the things we really want to focus on is how fossil fuels are so dangerous to us.
When people say, doctors, stay in your lane, don't talk about the environment, how is it relevant? Our patients suffer from these environmental impacts. But it's not new. I mean, doctors have been advocating for so many socially relevant topics across the history of the profession. Why is this any different? It's not. In fact, it's even more relevant.
We can see right now across the world, places are slowly becoming uninhabitable and just under constant pressure from natural disasters like floods and heat waves. As a nation that's relatively wealthy, do we have a duty of care to support places like, say, Fiji, as you mentioned, and other places that are at risk?
You know, when did duty of care become such a this boogeyman concept certainly in the law, if it was enshrined, amazing. But actually, we have a social contract anyway in our countries where we expect government to act in the interest of its citizens. Similarly, as professionals, we have our own duty of care obligations. In some cases, like in medicine, it's made quite explicit and clear. But also, when you look at global health, which is an area of work that I do, and global health meaning working in international settings with partners in other countries, we already do that. So Fiji, for example, they're actually the ones leading on this at an international stage. So even that narrative where we say Australia has a duty of care to support its Pacific neighbourhood, sure, that's one way absolutely to look at it. But on the other hand, we have so much to learn because it was the High Ambition Coalition that came out of the Pacific Island countries that led to the 2015 Paris Agreement being enshrined. So these are super important places that are punching way above their weight. We like to think Australia punches above its weight, but actually our partners are right here with us. So I think we do need to pay more respect.
Australia has the second highest rate of climate cases in the world, which is pretty incredible considering the population, but it really reflects that level of anger and frustration that people have about the impacts of climate change that are being felt without action from governments and from the corporations that do have power and control over those outcomes. Ultimately, it really shouldn't be a case of having to drag governments and corporations kicking and screaming to international and domestic courts to enforce a duty of care.
The Wire's Sam Giorgio speaking with Dr. Kate Wiley and Dr. Adi Vass from Doctors for the Environment Australia, along with Ruby Hamilton, Special Counsel at the Environmental Defender's Office.